I had some thoughts, but now I'm not sure I want to share them if I'm being recorded. I'm joking. I've used the email notification feature, and the only thing that's a little bit strange is there's no confirmation that your email got sent. So you pick a list, you choose the people that you want, you type up the email, you hit send, and it's just like boop. And there's no way to see that the email got sent. And I think, if I remember correctly, it doesn't send the email to you.
I think the workaround for that would be to add yourself to any communication, which is annoying, but that might be a way to just verify.
Okay, I was wondering if anyone else had, it might have been user error because I've only done it, I think, once or twice, and I had texted Neil and Craig actually to find out if the if the email went out. They both said it did, but I had no way to confirm.
Yeah, I guess I typically see if I receive it myself, and I'm typically on the list. So, like for instance, I sent one out about this Zoom link this morning, and I received it. So that's when I knew it was successful.
So I wonder if when I send it to myself, it goes into my junk folder. I'll have to make sure to check
Oh,
that.
yeah. Okay.
Alex, I experienced the same problem when I sent it to a group of people. I couldn't find any reference to show that I had sent it either, and I hadn't sent it to myself. So there's not a listing then of sent emails like you get on the other email lines.
There is a way to, I don't know that it's, I don't know who all has this function, but in the settings function, there is something called history that you can click on and see. Like, I can see the emails that I've sent, but I don't know if everybody has that. And we can specifically look at that. And I can show you all where that is. Again, I'm not sure. Some of these things might be like dependent on status or like your level of, like, if you're whatever your login status is. So we'll take a look at that and see what everybody has access to and if there's a way that we can include that for everyone. We'll try to do that. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so there's a few things that will I wanted to take a look at the desktop version of some things, and then I also wanted to take a look at the mobile version on some things because different people are going to use Breeze differently, and there might be questions for both types. So I just thought we could run through some things on the desktop version first and then switch over to the mobile version. So let me share my screen. Okay, so move this out of the way. So when everybody logs into Breeze, well, first of all, I guess first things first, is everybody able to log into Breeze? Has anybody had any troubles with that?
Bro, we haven't tried.
Okay. If you need me to, I can send you another invitation. And kind of after the meeting, I can sort of help walk you through like getting logged in if you want.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So whenever you log in, if nobody else is having problems, you'll have a dashboard that will show like that you can customize. So you should be able to ch change the different things that you see on the on your dashboard. So like very popular ones that I would think people would want to see would be upcoming events. And then there are other things that you can see. I'm not sure what everybody has access to, but I think upcoming events would be probably the most important one that everyone would want to be able to see, just so that you can kind of see, whatever the things that are coming up. So today we have the Breeze tutorial meeting. Wednesday night we have the Wednesday night study. You know, the regular things that are coming up. But that's just the dashboard, and you can customize it to a certain extent to add some things, but that isn't as important as some of these other functions. The few things that I really wanted to touch on were the people, the tags, the events, and the forms. And then if you have questions as we're going, just feel free to jump in and ask. But so for the people, this is essentially the directory. And all the people who had been in the former directory are now were uploaded onto this current the people's file, and we can add new people as people are coming to the chapel. We can kind of like if folks move away or whatever, we can save their information, but they wouldn't necessarily be part of the viewable active members of the chapel. And we'll probably have to have some kind of a conversation along the way of how to best handle those kinds of situations. But as of right now, the people are kind of limited to our current members and the Bassetts, who are our commended workers, and Rich and Zobecker, commended workers, people like that. So there are multiple ways that you can find people. One is just simply scrolling through the whole entire list. Another way is to search. So if we wanted to look up Joanne Pelzinski, then I could type in her name and she would come up. All of the Joannes would obviously populate that way. So those are our ways that we can find people. I found this helpful already. There's been a couple times where I've had to, when I've not been at home, where I've had to find somebody's address or phone number, and I've been able to consult the Breeze app and get that information on the go, which is I've found to be really helpful.
Luke,
Yes.
what does the M mean after the phone number?
Mobile.
Okay.
So some people will have, we'll look at Nate Appleton. I'm not sure. Well, we'll look up me because I think I have a couple numbers in there. So I have my mobile phone number, which would be the M, and then I have my work
Okay.
phone number listed, which would
Okay.
be, I'm assuming, which would be a W. I don't know. But great for any kind of like landline or if you have
Okay.
more than one number, you can include those in here.
There's a
So
little
send.
thing that says enroll to receive text messages. So that would be, I think, the beneficial part of the mobile, does it showing that it's a mobile number.
Okay. So I have just enrolled in receiving text messages. So I can receive text messages now, which we'll go into.
Okay.
But since we're on my page, we can just talk about how to update information. So the main information, my name, birthday, anniversary. So there's a limited amount of information that we can include. First and last name, gender, marital status, birthday, anniversaries. So whatever information you want to include about yourself, feel free to do that. And then I don't know that the families are perfect yet. I went through and I tried to connect as many of them. I think I got everybody, but if you're on there and you recognize that like your spouse isn't listed as your spouse or your child isn't listed as your child, you might be able to change it. And if you can't, let me know and I will do whatever I can. I think I went through and got everybody, but I'm not 100% sure. But that's what the family is just the people in your family. So that can be edited as your family's change, children grow up and they're not your, they're still your children, but they're not your children anymore. We can make those edits, or somebody gets married, somebody gets has a child, all those kinds of things. We can kind of change these out.
Alex had a question. Alex,
All right. Yep. Okay. Can you hear me now?
yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. So I had a question about the children. First thing is, our family's not perfect yet. We're working on it though. We we'll get our glorified bodies at some point in the future. But it doesn't look like it, to answer the question you just asked a second ago, it doesn't look like you can edit the other people.
We
So like
take it and all this there.
if I click on Seth, I can't do anything for him.
Okay.
So I can't like put him in my family or whatever, but that's my initial question was, is there a way that parents can be authorized to edit their children? So Seth has an email address, for example, and if I wanted to put his email address in there, I can't, and he doesn't have a login, so I assume he can't either. So is that
Yeah,
something?
we can we'll look at the settings for that
Okay.
and we'll do what we can to make that work.
Perfect.
Any other questions? Or am I going too fast? Okay.
Well, okay, I have a question, Luke, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I notice here in the main, when you're up, it has your age or your birth date, I guess, and your anniversary. But if I go to you, that doesn't come up. If I go to anybody else, that doesn't come up. But if I go to me, it comes up. Is everybody got that? I mean, is that the way it is? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, so you can see my name, but you can't see my date of birth or anniversary.
On my own, right.
Right.
If
You
I
can
pull you
see
up.
yours, but you can't see mine.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
I can look into that too. I'm not sure.
I
I'm sure we can
confirm.
change that. I'm sure that's not a problem. So education and work, that's also an optional thing. Great for the kids to be able to put what kind of what grades they're in and what schools they're going to, stuff like that. And you can put as much of this information about yourself as you want, and you don't have to if you don't want to. That's fine. Contact information, landline, cell phone, work phone. If there would be any reason to have more phone numbers than that, we can always see what we can do about including them. Email address, home address. I don't know that we need a lot more contact information than that. Could anybody think of something that would be missing that you would want to have? I don't
What
think
is
too many people have faxes anymore.
under show more options?
So I can't understand why they
Do
won't.
not text me crime. Okay.
So I'm assuming it's all the same.
This brings up this about the same
And
my
Luke, again,
yeah.
so when I pull yours up, I don't get the education and work on there at all. So I'm just,
That's probably because I don't have any information put in there.
no, when I pull, well, maybe.
Like if I were to change mine to If you were to refresh now, you might see.
Okay, let me see if that. No, see, the heading doesn't even come up. The education and work heading doesn't even come up on this. On,
Okay.
well,
It
you know
just
what?
saved now. Try again.
You know what, though? You're talking about laptops. I'm doing it on my iPad. Maybe there's a difference there. I don't know. But really, all I get for you on mine is just your name and your contact information.
Okay.
And the only reason I bring it up is because if you have, age and anniversary and employer and everything, I'm assuming that's for other people to check and not yourself, because I don't think you forget that every day.
Right. Yeah, I'm not gonna forget that stuff, right?
Okay.
Spoken as a young guy.
Right.
So
Yeah, right.
I'll confirm on the web it's the same. You only see for other people their phone numbers, email, and address, and that's it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll look into that after we're done here.
Okay.
Okay, so that's.
Luke, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, the only people who can see that information, all the information you're talking about, is there anybody who can just access this and get this information? Like, is Breeze secure as far as putting out all this information on the web?
Right. So each individual church has their own domain name. So I'm imagining that there's probably a Breeze IT person that would be able to log into individual domains if there was like a specific problem. But no one outside of Wauwatosa Bible Chapel can access any of our information.
Okay.
And then, so like I'm listed as one of the admin. Neil and Craig are our admins. So we have certain access to like help people like with their logins and their contacts and stuff like that. But like as you can see, you're so like nobody can even see some of the basic information. And we conceivably should have or could have access to. So we'll work on trying to making sure that everybody has the access to the appropriate information that they should have access to, so that when you're trying to search about somebody, if you can see a birthday or you can see a employer or whatever, but
And
that's
if I'm not mistaken, Luke, when you opened up those open more options, each person has the option to mark that as, not for public or whatever. Isn't that correct?
You certainly should. Yeah, you could, like, if you wanted to.
Like make private,
Right, exactly.
or do not text. I mean, you can
Yes,
specify that
you
if it's something you don't want.
exactly.
Okay.
Correct. So you should be able to con you will be able to control your own information.
Okay.
If you include it on here, you can make those notifications. You can also choose to not put any information on there about yourself if that's what you want to do as well. Like
Correct.
it's totally up to you. We're not trying to force this on anybody. We're just trying to use something that's helpful for people to
Right.
stay connected with each other and
Right.
have easier access for communication and stuff like that.
Can I
So.
ask you one more question in reference to that? For instance, could I go in here, and I'm probably jumping ahead, but could I go in here and can you sort it by, like could I sort by birthdays in the month of December and pull
That's
it?
a good question. I do not know.
Okay.
We can go back to just the main people screen, but I don't think birthdays are one of the options on here.
Okay.
There might be a way to do that, and I don't know.
That's fine.
As far as I know, that is not something.
So it could be in filters.
Potentially.
Okay. All
It's
right. I
not.
don't mean to jump ahead. That's okay.
Is it possible to add that to the calendar, to the events, birthdays?
Birth. It would be possible. It would be arduous to go through and do that for every single
at each one of those.
every yeah. single person. Because that would be like an individual thing that we'd have to add every single one. So
can
for
you,
can 200 people.
Click birthday in that filter,
filter
that list you just had. Can you click birthday? What happens? Okay.
So it looks like you would be able to filter by a date range, but that's only because Luke has access to the birthdays. The rest of us don't. So our filters are different. Currently, the filters I see are only the ones that you can see the information on when you click on the person's profile.
So there's December birthdays.
These are the people who have listed December birthdays.
Okay.
So yeah, I think I can confirm the setting that we have is not to see those. So we can easily check the box so you can see everybody's birthday. The way it's set up right now, all you can view is name and address.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I can check the box right now and change that if we want to do that.
Yeah, I wonder
if I would use this program like that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, it must just not be a standard setting that comes out. And then, I mean, like, obviously in our bulletin, or not our bulletin, but in our current directory, that's listed for everybody. So it's not, it wouldn't be changing what is already out in public view right now if we do that.
So I wonder if you do that, like you select birth date December's, if you can populate the calendar that way without the arduous entering each one.
And maybe
by month.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Luke, I have a question. Is it possible to go from people and to have like certain groups together, like all the Thursday morning ladies who come to the Bible?
Yes. Study? So we're going to get to that.
Okay.
So that's going to be under tags. And we'll talk about that next.
Right.
How to create tags, how to use tags. For right now, as far as just the directory goes, everyone should have their own login. Everyone should have their own ability to get in there and change their own information. And we're going to work on getting it so that you can also change your kids' information. This is also the way to communicate with each other. So there's multiple ways that you can do it. If I needed to send Otis Appleton an email, I could come in here and select him and then click on the email function, and that will send an email to Otis Appleton, whatever his email address is registered. He doesn't have an email, so it wouldn't work. But if you need to send a email to the entire chapel, then you would just select all and email. And then you have either a basic email that can be sent, or there are templates that can be used. I've never tried the templates, but I'm assuming it would be like any other kind of template that there exists through email programs. So we'll just click on basic, and then this is going to show all of the people who are going to be receiving an email that have email addresses that have been uploaded into the Breeze program. So subject is just like, you know, any other subject line in the world. And then the body of your email, you can type out whatever you want. And then you can either send it right now. So we could just do test email, hello chapel family, test email. And so we could either send it right now to 125 people, or send it later. So if it's something that you need to do later, you remember at 2 a.m, but you don't want to be considered a crazy person for sending out an email at 2 a.m, but you're afraid you're going to forget, you can choose to send it out at, a different time. Or if you know that for whatever reason, now is not the time for this information to get disseminated, but you know that later would be better, you can choose the appropriate time and the date for that email to be sent. You can't send it from the past, though, so there's no going back, as I say. But you can choose, send it now, send it later, and that, so this will go out to everybody. Does that make sense? Does anybody have questions about that?
But
So,
Luke,
yeah, yep.
will the church be using this for sending out group emails? Like right now, I get emails about the women's Bible studies and things like that, or Selah, those kinds of things. And it's not a
Yes.
big deal, but it would be nice if the emails that I got were mostly things that I might be interested in.
Relevant, sir. And so that's going to fall in line with the tags. So we'll get into that. So where you can specifically communicate with a group of people who ought to be receiving information, as opposed to just blasting everybody. So yes, there are people who are already using this. I've been sending out emails this way. I know other people have as well. And so when somebody sends out an email with the Breeze isn't actually, like, there's not an inbox here. It's actually using email, like your email. Like if somebody were to reply to an email that I sent out, it'll go to my actual email address. It won't come to Breeze. There's no like inbox on Breeze that you need to check. It's all going to be through your actual email, whatever email address you put on to your account or to your login or whatever.
So when it comes
So
in, so when those emails come in, is it going to be from Chapel or is it going to be from whoever sent it?
let me see if I can find one that I sent out. This is the one that you sent out earlier, Neil.
Yeah, yep.
Is this, did you send this to everybody or did you just send this to me?
It should have gone to everybody.
Okay. So neil@solanke.com via sendgrid.net. So this was through Zoom, yes?
No,
Or I mean
it
through Breeze.
through Breeze, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So it shows his email address, but it's through sendgrid.net. And
Okay.
so if you were to respond to this link, it would go to Neil's email address.
Okay.
But it was sent originally
You
through the
can
Breeze
click
app.
on where it says via. I think that's a link, and it'll probably give you more details of what that means, SendGrid. So I'm guessing that Breeze uses, we can look into this more, but where it said SendGrid.net, that's probably Breeze's
Yeah.
service. So it just kind of aliases my email address, but yeah, I can look into that a little bit more and verify that. Maybe SendGrid needs, if you start having problems, maybe that needs to be whitelisted or something for so it doesn't get spammed. So
Yeah, because
you can look into
there's
that.
a lot of times I get emails, and if I don't recognize where it's from, I don't open it.
Well, it'll
So,
look like it's from
the
me,
nice,
though. So,
right,
okay, that's what I
exactly.
needed
So
to
that's the
know.
nice
Good
thing
time.
is that, like, if Neil sends an email, even though it's through Breeze,
Okay.
it's actually from Neil. Like, if I send
Okay.
out an email, it'll actually be from, it'll say it's from me. It's not going to
Okay.
say, weird Breeze is asking you to open a crazy email. Like,
Okay, that's fine. Yep.
yeah.
I think
So,
maybe Marty had a problem with getting blocked. So maybe that had to do with it, but yeah, okay. We can look into that more.
So what you've got up there, you've got all these BCCs. Is that the default, or are they
Yes.
coming through as CCs?
So it defaults as BCC. You can change it to two. And then everybody can see who received the email.
I
It's
would
more of a
prefer
preference
they,
thing, I suppose.
yeah, and I would prefer that most of them go through as BCCs so that when people start replying, you don't
Yes.
suddenly get bombarded with,
Right.
I'll
Yes.
be there. And it's like,
Yeah. Right.
right.
So this is just basically how you would send communication. And again, you can filter exactly who you want to receive it. You can go through and, if Jen Appleton and Sonia Bassett are the only two people that you need to email, then you can choose to just email those two people, and those are the only ones who are going to get it. So text works the same way as email, where you can choose everybody and send a text, and then these are the people who have cell phone numbers listed, and we can send out 140 character text to whomever needs to receive it. So just last Wednesday night, when Wednesday night study was going to be canceled, this could have been a good opportunity to use this, where everybody would have received the text message. It can be used in conjunction with the email. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be both. Sometimes people see their emails first. Sometimes people see their text first. It's just kind of a pick whichever one you think is going to be most effective for communicating. But this is another function that we have to use. I would say limit it, because we only have, like, this shouldn't be used for just like regular communication. It should be specific to chapel events or something along those lines, because we only have a limited number that we can use. So if you need to text somebody personally, I would recommend getting their phone number from Breeze, putting it into your phone, and then you texting that person. This should be kind of reserved for communicating about an event, or communicating about a change to something, or something very specific that's chapel related, not really
Personal.
personal. So
Yeah.
does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So does anybody have questions about email or text? How to find people, how to do those things. If not, we're going to move on to tags.
I'm gonna just put something in our meeting here that, as a follow-up, we will put out instructions on how you need to enroll in the text messages.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
So we'll have that as a follow-up.
So right now we have a handful of tags that are set up, and we have the ability to add more tags as the needs arise. There are, if for some reason you would need to get in touch with any of the deacons, any of the elders, anything that's involving the ladies' committee, if you have questions about music, if you have questions about a safety concern, you can click on the tag, and then you now know who the deacons are if you didn't know in the past.
Look at Marty's picture.
Young Marty. And then you can specifically address that group of people. So you can send them an email, you can send them a text, and your concern can be addressed that way. If you have a question about, again, let's say that you want to be involved in music, or you have something that's specifically related to the music ministry, you can email or text this group of people. So this is not by any stretch of the imagination like exact as of right now, but as we start using this stuff more, we can hone it and get better about making sure that the tags are up to date. So to your point, Carmen, for the ladies' Thursday morning study, this is a great way, like this is a great place for that. So if we wanted to add a tag, we could do Thursday morning study. And now we can go in here and we can add whoever is a part of that, whoever is a part of that ministry. So we know that Carmen is. So we're adding her. And so she's now on the Thursday morning study tag, and whomever else I know, Jamie and Janine and Joanne and
So we can do this.
whatever.
So, like, for
So
instance, Carmen could do this.
Carmen, yeah. So whoever, if this is something that if this is something that she's going to use, then she can be given the ability to sort of make these changes. If she wants to designate somebody else to do that, then we can assign whoever she wants to sort of head that up and be the person to who can make these adjustments.
But any of these things we add or adjust need to go through the group of whatever you guys were called, you and Craig and Neil.
Well, we're just the administrators right now, but
But you have to
we're
give permission to do this?
correct. Yes.
Okay.
So not just everybody has permission to do anything that they want.
Okay.
So it's going to be somewhat vetted to people getting the appropriate the
Yes.
abilities to do the things that need to be done.
So that there's some control.
Right.
It's not a
So
free throw. Okay.
exactly. So tags are exactly what Matthew was talking about, just so that not everybody gets every single bit of communication. Like it can be specific to the groups of people who need to hear it. So if it's a prayer request that the whole chapel family should get, obviously we would want to send that out to everybody. If it's something that's specific, somebody has a question for the elders and they need to just speak to the elders directly, they can email the elders specifically. Or if they have, if it only concerns a smaller group of people, then they have the ability to use a tag that is sort of an established group that people can then can use in order to cut down on the number of people who are receiving the communication or who it's appropriate to receive. And again, you can from the people, you can go through the list. If a tag is not an appropriate thing, you can go through the list and just click on whoever is appropriate if it doesn't need to go to the whole chapel family. So tags are going to be I think a real time saver for a lot of people in order to communicate amongst themselves, communicating amongst a group. And does anybody have any specific questions about tags?
Luke, despite what I said earlier, one concern that I have is when we think about new people coming in and not necessarily even knowing what some of these groups are.
Sure.
I was there probably about a year before I knew what Selah was.
Okay.
And I have discovered I'm probably a little too old for it. But you know,
Only a
you
little.
could picture, yeah, just a shade. But you could picture, you know, some new family coming in, and if they have to specifically opt in, they may not even know that it exists,
It's a great point, and
if they're
that's
not
something
doing anything
that,
at all.
but that's that's the part where this is going to be a group effort. So the individual people who are kind of leading different aspects of the ministry are going to have to be aware of that kind of thing and reaching out and including them. So if whoever is whoever is in charge of, we'll use Selah for an example. If a new family comes and they have kids that are the appropriate age, whoever's in charge of Selah would then be have a certain amount of responsibility to reach out to those people and to let them know about you know, what the opportunities that they have and getting them connected. So this is why it's not just going to be me and Neil and Craig, and we have the only ability to include anybody, and nothing happens apart from, you know, nothing happens apart from our say so. Like, that's not the idea. The idea is that each individual ministry, there are going to be leaders of those ministries who have the ability to now start including people and bringing people in and helping out, so that it doesn't just fall to, you know, two or three people or whatever it is, and, right. And they're the only people who can breathe. Like, it's everybody. It's all of our ministry. It's we're all a part of it. It's all of us. Not everybody needs to have access to every single thing, but there certainly should be leaders involved in every single ministry that is going to have access, who can now start including people and bringing people in and sort of being the, you know, the boots on the ground, whatever, who are helping identify new people who can be a part of ministries, inviting those people, making them feel welcome, helping them get included and getting them plugged in. So
Luke, at what point do you envision new people being invited into Breeze?
We haven't had any kind of like a formal conversation about it. I would think if a family starts regularly attending, you know, after a few weeks, we would then let them know about Breeze and, you know, getting them logged into the, you know, getting them invited into just log, you know, filling out their information, getting a login, including them in the directory, and then start linking them up with the different ministries that are, you know, involved at the chapel. I don't know that there's any kind of a set, like, well, if once they've reached the giving threshold, then that will include them, or after, you know, 4 weeks or anything like that. Like, I think we'll kind of know it because they just keep coming, you know, they've been here 3-4 weeks in a row. So I think they're, you know, they're here now. So let's get them involved.
This is the kind of thing you talk about at the deacon level, that, you know, who's new and maybe at some point, you know, the deacons make a decision that, hey, these people seem to be coming regularly. Let's add them in. And then, you know, you I don't know, Janine would be the one that would be doing that. And I guess I would go back to my own experience. I was at Wauwatosa for quite a while before I got the what do you call the directory, and frankly, okay. I had to go chase it down in order to get one. And I mean, it really helped to have something that I could start to go, oh, well, this is that person. You know, frankly, I pull it out almost every Sunday trying to still figure out who people are. Especially on a Sunday like this where the kids are up there. I don't know who most of them are. But it really did help to have something that would help me connect to the other people in the church. So it would be
totally. And this is, we're all learning together. I'm one day further than you guys on Breeze, but after this meeting, you're going to know as much as I do. So, where this is going to be a learning process, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to figure things out on the fly, and you know, it's going to require a lot of patience and grace from everyone, as we're sorting this out. I don't we haven't had a lot of like formal conversations about it, other than like so far we're just trying to get everybody logged in. Now we're trying to get some people up to speed so that we can all start using it, and we're gonna just do the best that we can. That's it. We're learning. We're all gonna learn as we go. So,
Hey, Luke,
yes, ma'am.
in the list of tags, is it possible to do something like, for instance, put in there like youth ministries, and then under that tag, there would be subtitles like Selah, Kids Club, blah, blah,
I don't
blah.
think that you can have a tag under a tag. I
Okay.
could be wrong about that. I think the tags, I think each individual tag is its own thing.
Okay, so you'd have to do a tag for Selah.
Nope, that's wrong. Add a folder. So we could
Okay.
do youth ministries. And then,
I would
so
think
under
that would
youth
be good for
ministries,
I would think that'd be good for the Sunday school teachers to be able to have a tag for, maybe not their students, but their students' families, be able to say, hey, here's what's going on.
so youth ministries, we can have a Sunday school.
Three thumbs up to that comment.
We can add additional tags if we wanted to do it that way. We could do a ladies ministries. We could do, again, this is where I didn't even know we could do this, so we're learning together. So we can figure this, we can figure this kind of stuff out.
And the reason I brought that up is simply because if we had a tag for Selah and somebody goes in there and they don't know what Selah is, they're not necessarily going to know to even open that. Where if it's under, a tag of youth ministries and
Sure.
then there's these separate,
Yeah, totally.
separate boxes, it would be
Totally.
easier to find.
Yeah, if you're new, exactly. If you're new here, okay, so what's Sela? What does that even mean? But if you're new
Right.
here and you say, okay, we have youth ministries, well, what are the youth ministry options here? Okay, Sunday school and Sela. Okay. So you can start to get an idea. That's
Sure.
great
Okay.
feedback. Does anyone have any other questions or comments?
Just thinking back to the new people, Luke, I would think it would be a good thing that when you decide that you're going to invite somebody into Breeze, that maybe an email go out to them and say, welcome, here's Breeze, here's how to use it. By the way, here's all the groups, here's things you might be interested in. If you are interested in them, you need to opt in or whatever, or talk to, so and so. But use that as a way to really introduce the church and who we are.
Yeah,
And
well, and
totally.
Alex put a note in the chat list here, to put in the bulletin identifying what Breeze is, and then people can, if they're new, they can say, oh, I'd like to join that, and it has the names of the administrators for that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, and even regularly including either having a sign up sheets, or including them in the bulletin regularly, like just so that newer people can know about it. Yeah, it's all really good feedback. Alex, I saw that your hand was up. Did you have something
I was
to?
actually going to bring attention to my comment in the chat.
Okay.
So thank you, Joanne.
Yeah, you've got good chats in there. I mean, good comments, Alex.
Thank you.
Okay. So tags. Does anybody have anything else specific about tags? If not, we're going to move on to events. So this is the chapel calendar. So it would be good to start. I've included some of the recurring things that we have in here on a regular basis. Lord's Supper is at 9 a.m. The family Bible hour is at 10:30. We have the Wednesday night meeting. So those we have every week. Obviously there's are the occasional exception, but these are the bedrocks of our meetings. So these are recurring. The rest of them, it's going to be up to the individual kind of people who are involved in the ministries to include your events in the calendar. So Thursday morning Bible study, we could set it up as a recurring one. I think that you can add events, and then you have like ranges that you could that you can put them on. I think so. If we do a Thursday morning study, what time does that go? Or
9:30.
when's the next one going to be?
The next one is going to be in January, and it's probably going to be the 16th of January.
January 16th, and it's 9 in the morning.
9:30.
9:30 to 11.
11:15.
11:15. So we could put this in for Thursday morning study. And then we could have it repeat weekly. So it'll just automatically start showing up on the calendar starting on the 16th every Thursday, 9:30 to 11:15. And then we can pick a specific date that we wanted it to end on. So let's just say we wanted it to end. They know for a fact they're going to do the 3 weeks in January, and beyond that, it's unknown. So we could add that to January's calendar, and then well, maybe I should have picked not the 30th, but so it added two Thursday mornings in January.
And so that is something that, let's say, Carmen would do, or she would delegate somebody in the group to
Right.
take care of that. Okay.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
So as we, turn to January, we see the regular meetings are in there. We have the men's business meeting is listed. We're going to have the gym classes starting, men's breakfast. So there's different things that are starting to show up on the calendar for the beginning of next year. And so again, if you go back to your dashboard, this could be something that just automatically comes up where you're just looking at the upcoming events, actually clicking on the events, and being able to see everything that is upcoming is going to be super helpful. For instance, like for the men's business meeting, if we click on it, I included the Zoom link. So if there's somebody who's interested in coming, they can just come and click on the Zoom link. If Matthew and I were talking about that today, he hadn't received the link for the Zoom meeting, but it's in here. And so even if he hadn't gotten an email, he could still join in by knowing that this exists here. As far as actually setting up events, obviously making sure that we have them listed the right the right time, the right day, the right event, is on here. But now there's like sub features, which is managing volunteers. And somebody like Nathan Keller, this is going to be very relevant for, because he's overseeing the music ministry. So next week, for the 22nd, we have the Lord's Supper, and we have different volunteers that we can add for an event that
Okay.
we can start we can start utilizing this more. So whoever is in charge of setting up and taking down the Lord's Supper, like we can add a volunteer. So if we're doing monthly signups or whatever, whoever signs up for the Lord's Supper, we can send we can add them to this, so that next week they would get a reminder a few days before the event, that just reminds them, hey, you're on for setting up and taking down the Lord's Supper. Shalita signed up for to play the piano for the Lord's Supper next week. So we have in here a reminder, and so she'll automatically get a reminder. I think it's on Thursday. But we can even change when the reminders are sent out, the frequency that they're sent out, we can manipulate this a great deal, so that these people can receive, whoever the volunteers are, they can receive these notifications so that they're reminded to do them, and we're staying organized. Another thing is for the family Bible hour, same kind of thing. Whoever the speaker is for next week, which is Matthew.
What about childcare?
So Matthew's already logged in here for the family Bible hour speaker. So if he just completely, you know, gets sucked into work and hasn't thought about it, doesn't think about it, on Thursday, he's going to be reminded, hey, you better prepare something because you're on. But song leader, we have the ability to plug that in there, but we can add more. We're not limited to just these. We can do, for instance, you could have a piano player. You can, because for Nathan's his schedule, he's got whoever the pianist is for the Lord's Supper, and then the family Bible hour, whoever's playing the piano, the song leader, vocals, guitar, bass, cajon, organ. Like, we could have that for every single, like, we could have that volunteer, and then we could just plug in those names. I don't think Preston has an email, so that might be lost, but like, we can add more. What I'm saying is we can add more than just what I have. I was just putting it in there as just sort of like a like an immediate kind of like, hey, we can use this, but we can do more than this is what I'm trying to say. And Nathan, as you specifically start getting in here and utilizing these functions, I mean, feel free to change it up to whatever you think is appropriate. By no means feel boxed by what I've by what I've put. This was just to kind of get us started. If you think that we need more or less or whatever, like, feel free, jump in and make it your own.
So Luke, in this particular section, like for nursery care, I believe Jessica Shills does that. So should there be something set up where she could actually?
Totally.
Okay.
That's completely appropriate.
Okay.
Setting up nursery workers. Again, the trickier thing with that is if it's the younger girls and they don't have email addresses, granted they could go to their parents, but right.
But this might be a nice avenue for her rather than have to totally. Make all kinds of phone calls, yep. Or
completely.
Okay.
This is great way to utilize it. And that's exactly what this is for. That could be a tag in here too, is like nursery workers.
Okay.
So if for some reason, you know, all the nursery workers needed to communicate with each other or whatever, like that can be utilized for that. They can get, you know, nursery workers on here for the Lord's Supper, for the family Bible hour. That's under the volunteers. So every event is going to have four like options. So there's the details of the event. There's service planning. There's checking in, which I don't, at least at this point, I don't see us using this at all, and managing volunteers. Check-in would be like basically saying that you're there or whatever. I don't know. I don't think we're really going to use that, but there may come a point in time where we do, or different people want to, I don't know. But I'd kind of not really worry about this one for now. Details are who has checked in for the event. And sometimes like somebody will put specific like information about an event, like so this is the details for this event is or is this the description? No, I can't remember. But anyway, the ones that are important are going to be basically managing the volunteers. So whoever is going to be doing specific functions or if specific functions are required in an event, like we have the ability to create those. So we have different options for how many volunteers are needed, who's going to kind of be leading the, you know, that event and whatever. So there's just lots of options. And I think this is going to be something that we really are going to enjoy
building,
using. Yeah. Enjoy using for, especially for like the Sunday morning services. I think it's going to make communicating a lot easier. So does anyone have any questions about the events, managing the events, the volunteers, any of that stuff?
I think just setting up, you know, the different areas, like, you know, like quote unquote food committees, you know, who you contact for things like that. I don't know if you would make that a tag, you know.
Yeah, that would be more, that'd be more in line with the tags.
Okay.
Like somebody that has a baby or a bereavement or something like that, then we could have a tag, and then a group of people gets notified.
I mean, that could be under ladies' ministries and then break it down.
Totally.
Yep. Okay.
Alex, did you have something?
Yeah, I was going to suggest that if for the calendars, if we have chapel-wide events, then it seems to make sense to me to use the main calendar. But if all events are going to go on one calendar, I think it will eventually get rather busy. But each, sort of like a tag, each subgroup could have their own calendar, like youth ministries, women's ministries, men's ministries, etc., could all have their own calendars. And that way you can kind of click through which things you're interested in. And if the folks running those ministries had access to their calendar, then they could add or subtract meetings and things on their calendar as was necessary. Just
totally.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. That's something. Yeah, that's something we can kind of deal with as it comes up. Like if we find out that it is just getting too cluttered, we can separate it out. I don't know that. Like at this point in time, I don't think we have so much stuff going on that one calendar would be too much, but we, again, like as we start using this, we'll find out. And it certainly might be completely appropriate for us to add, you know, layers to the calendar, and that's very easy to do. So we could do, you know, women's ministry, and then we have their own special calendar, their own color, and then that's what it is. So very easy to do, very, very user friendly. So that's something that we can play with as the needs arise. Does anybody have any other questions about events, managing volunteers, anything like that? The very last thing that we're going to talk about is forms. As of right now, we can use forms for signing up for different events, or, you know, like the Choice Gleanings calendar. We can look at our form. We have a nice pretty picture of the Choice Gleaning 2025 calendar. You put in your name and your email address, and now you're on the list. So that was pretty simple, basic description of what that is. We can look at the entries of who signed up for it. One good piece of feedback that I think Craig had said was, you know, in the future, like add a, for something like this, you know, add like the ability to choose more than one, or like write a description or something, like if, because Eleanor Allen wanted two. So she, well, Craig found a creative way to notate that. But, you know, in the future, have it be, if somebody wants, you know, 50 of them, that they could clearly indicate that that's what they want. So we'll obviously get better as we do this more, but this is the idea is that we can now register for things online, and there eventually we'll have the ability to pay for things online too. So let's say next year for the Women's Christmas Dinner, you could come in here and you could sign up to say that you're going to attend, and then also pay for your tickets online. And then it's just all handled. It's all taken care of, just done. Couples retreat, sign up, pay, you're registered, you're ready to go. It's, people aren't going to have to try to, we're not going to have to try to chase down who we need to, get payments to or get payments from. It can be a one-stop shop. We're not quite there yet, but that is something that down the road we're hoping to be able to include. And as right now, it's good enough to just be able to like sign up for things in a place online. I'm pretty sure that you don't even have to have an account in order to like use a form. If you're, let's say that you're creating a form, if you go to share, and then if you use the form address and include that in an email, somebody should be able to just click on the link and sign up, sign the form, even if they're not a, even if they don't have an account with Breeze. And then we would be able to communicate with them about it. So you don't even technically have to have a login, I'm pretty sure. And you can still use the forms. So for events that might, where people who don't go to the chapel might be interested in attending, they might be able to still let somebody know that they're coming or they're interested. Like we could have conceivably sent this out, the choice cleanings calendar out to non-chapel people, and they could have, you know, signed up to get a choice cleaning calendar, and we could have had their name and their email address, and we could have, you know, done that for them. So I think the forms are going to be one of the things that we're going to find really, really, really helpful as far as communicating things for attending events and letting people know that events are coming up and that it's good to kind of RSVP for them or whatever. So does anybody have questions about forms? Does anybody have any questions about anything?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
First of all, what is the site? I mean, because I would like to pin this on my laptop. And my other question is, when I signed up, did I have to have a password? Because I don't remember doing it. And if so, and I need to change my password, where do you go to get that information for your personal account?
I don't know. I will, I'll talk to you about that after.
Okay.
I can answer the question about changing your password. I've done it.
Okay.
Once you're logged in under the settings, you click on the little settings wheel. It's in the upper right-hand corner there, and there's just a link that says change password. Very
Okay.
simple.
Okay.
And I had a question, but I think I just
Okay.
forgot what it was. Oh,
Okay.
sorry, I remember it now. It looks like it's not currently a feature. Maybe it's one of those things that's not a normal feature, but is there a way to go to an event and save it to like your personal calendar if you wanted? I haven't figured out a way to be reminded of events that I want to attend, like this one. I just created an entry on my own phone so that I could be reminded of it. But
I
if
see
there
what
was
you're
a,
saying.
yep.
So like from the app, like say like save event to your email or to your iPhone calendar or whatever.
Yeah, or even be able to enable through the app a notification that would remind me through the app of that event if I said I wanted to attend it. I haven't figured out if that's
Good
possible,
question.
but if it was, I think that would be useful.
Yeah, I do not know the answer to that question. We can look into it.
Okay.
To answer Joanne's question, the site is wauwatosabiblechapel.breezechms.com. If you type that in the browser, hit enter, it'll say login name, password, and then there's a forgot password as well
Okay.
link. And then secondly, the app, you can have the app on your phone and it will ask you what's the name of
The
the
domain name.
chat, the domain, and that's Wauwatosa Bible Chapel, smashed together, no spaces. Wauwatosa Bible Chapel.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Just that, no dot anything.
Well, that's just
So
for
when
if
you
you have the
download
app.
the, yeah.
Right.
So that's when you're trying to log into the app. Whenever you first bring it up, it's the very first thing it's going to ask you for is the domain name. So that's our domain.
Okay.
There's 10,000 churches that use this, that use Breeze. So they have to separate it out somehow. And this is our specific part of Breeze is Wauwatosa Bible Chapel.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it correct that the giving capability hasn't been set up yet?
I think that's right.
Okay.
Do you know, Craig?
I missed that. What were you? I was looking, I was trying to find something else. What was the question?
The giving, we can't currently give through the site, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
If we do it, I mean, like we do have a PayPal account that people can give online to, but then there's going to be fees involved.
Let's not have fees.
So anything that, like, if you give $100, they're going to take, like, it's like any other, it's like a credit card processing fee that are going to take a percentage. I haven't found one. They use Tithely, I think, is the one that they use. It's a different application that's kind of embedded in Breeze, but there's involved. So I'm not. We
I've
haven't.
had interactions with Tidely and I'm not real impressed with them. Just they're going to bombard you with emails on how to increase giving and all sorts of business techniques to apply to the church that, frankly, I didn't think were appropriate. We had somebody pushing for that at my previous church.
So, I guess the short answer is no, we can't give. And the long answer is I don't know if we're going to go that route. We'll see. Does anybody have any other questions, comments, or concerns?
Who specifically wants to be the person who gets contacted with our questions? Is that you, Luke, or any of you guys?
You're welcome to contact me.
Okay.
I know what I know. I've tried to tell you everything that I
Okay.
do know.
I just don't want anybody to be bombarded with all of this.
It's fine. You're welcome to contact me. Craig knows a lot about it as well.
Okay. All right.
He's
Yeah,
he's
you
very knowledgeable.
Thank you.
So, yeah, whoever you feel comfortable talking to. If anybody has any other questions afterward, feel free to reach out. And if, again, if you're thinking about it later and it comes to, we'll do whatever we can to help you out. So.
I'll go ahead and stop the recording and then I don't know. Sounds like maybe Luke, you could stay on and answer
Sure.
some more questions.
Yeah.